We're going to have to quickly do this. This is a kind of experiment, and when you have experiments, they don't always work. But I'm going live onto the internet now. Hopefully it will work. It's kind of saying, no, don't do this to me. Oh, there we go. We have passwords everywhere at this university. And that's not mine. It's going to ask me for another 5 in a minute. This is a website called the World Value Survey, and it's great because the link's on there. These are questionnaires asked people around the world. What I'm going to do is just, I'm going to take a few risks, if it'll let me on. Yeah, okay. Do-do-do, do-do-do. Right. We're going to do a bit of online. See, look at this. This is just terrible. Name me a country. And I'll tell you what people in that country think. Where are you from, sir?
Oman.
Oman. Hopefully that's there. Please be there, Oman. Oh, God, no. No, Oman. Any Chinese? Can I do China? That's there. I saw that last night. China's there. Denmark, Egypt? Anybody from Egypt?
Saudi Arabia.
Let's see if that's there. That should be there. There we go. Saudi Arabia's there. Let's do... any others? Let's do Britain. Okay. Once you've done that, that's fine. You go. Ooh, there we go. You go back up to the top, actually. And you go across. It's all fairly straightforward, but if anybody wants to know how to do this, I can send a link. And this kind of shows you what people think about their national identity. And I can tell you that, there we go, that was done live. And here we go, we've got a graph straight away. Right, so in China, most people are blue. That doesn't mean most people in China are blue. That means that most people in China, and actually quite a high percentage, something like 55% of people in China, feel that their most important identity is to be Chinese. All right? So that's the most important thing to them. Quite a lot of them, 25%, say that their local region in China, or sorry, their locality, not their region, so their particular kind of local area, that's more important to them than being Chinese. A little bit less for the region. But look here. Not that many Chinese people consider the most important aspect of them to be Asian. That's less important than being Chinese. And hardly any of them, what, 3-4% see that they're citizens of the world. Does anybody here see themselves as a citizen of the world? Well, that's telling. In Great Britain, it's a bit different. Look, people are less likely to say national identity, much more likely to say their locality, but more of them, and that would be what we'd expect, more of them are seeing themselves as citizens of the world. Something like 10% of British people would see themselves as citizens of the world. You can do all sorts of exciting things with this data, and there's loads of stuff on there. They ask you questions about whether you'd be happy living next door to somebody from, I don't know, Germany. And you'd be shocked and appalled at some of the responses that people give. But anyway... what do you think of women and these kind of things? That was kind of... It worked. Saudi Arabia, similar to China, actually, isn't it? In ways. But more people seeing themselves as part of the global trend. Right, hopefully I can get back. Right, okay, that did work. And traditionalists or sceptics would point to that. That's the kind of evidence they'd use to say, look, people don't feel global. They feel national, largely. Their national identity is the most important. But I showed you the evidence earlier. Economic power is still largely national. This is a famous guy called Anthony Smith. I'll be rushing a bit now. Who argued that we are still far from even mapping out the kind of global culture and cosmopolitan ideal that can truly supersede a world of nations. All right? So he says it's not happening. And there's a little radio program you can listen to there. But we won't do that now because it's half an hour long. That would be stupid. But if you want to, you can click on that and that will take you to a radio program all about, on the internet, all about their view. And finally, the transformationalists. They say that globalization is a contingent process, i.e. it doesn't have to happen, so it's not inexorable. It's contingent upon certain things happening. Yeah? So certain behaviours that governments put forward, certain policies, certain attitudes of you lot, you know, whether you choose to travel or whether you decide to stay at home. It could be to do with economic conditions. If the stock market in America goes whoops, well, that would probably affect all of us, and it might kind of limit our ability to travel so much. You know, if we've not got so much money, if planes are more expensive, we can't travel. There we go.